Fatima Center presents Faith, Salvation, and Humility, a 5-day Lenten mission directed by Father Michael Rodriguez. This is the conference given on the second day. God speaks, therefore we believe. Faith is my response to the truths that come from God. I must believe God before I believe my own feelings, opinions, experience, or reason. Faith is a loving submission and sacrifice rendered to God. Imitate the blind beggar. Pray for faith. Lord, that I may see.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Please kneel, we begin by praying. Act of faith. My God, I believe all that the Holy Church teaches me to believe, because Thou, who art infallible truth, hast revealed it. I believe that Thou art the Creator and Lord of heaven and earth, who eternally rewardest the just in paradise and chastisest sinners in hell. I believe that Thou art one God in essence, but three in person, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three in person, but only one God. I believe that God the Son, the second person, in order to save us and redeem us from our sins, became man and died upon the cross. I believe that the Most Holy Virgin Mary was conceived without sin, that she is truly Mother of God, and that she was ever a virgin. I believe that Jesus Christ, the third day after his death, rose again by his own power, and after 40 days ascended to heaven, where he is seated on the right hand of the Eternal Father, equal to him in majesty and glory. I believe that at the last day, Jesus Christ shall come to judge all men, who shall then rise from their graves. I believe that the Roman Catholic Church is the only true church, outside of which there is no salvation. I believe in the communion of the saints. That is to say that every one of the faithful who is in a state of grace participates in the merits of all the just. I believe that God remits the sins of those who offend him so soon as they repent of them. I believe in the 7 sacraments by means of which the grace of Jesus Christ is communicated to us. I believe the 10 commandments of the Decalogue. I believe, finally, all that the Holy Church believes. I thank Thee, O my God, for having made me a Catholic, and I proclaim that I desire to live and die in this holy faith. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Savior and God, says, quote, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." Close quote. Be like the blind beggar. Believe. Believe that you are a blind beggar, crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And when there are obstacles, whatever they may be, you shout all the louder. You persevere all the more. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, that I may see. That I may see with the eyes of faith." And pray, "Lord, increase my faith." It's not a coincidence, and I say it's not a coincidence because, again, as I mentioned yesterday, Jesus constantly calls us to faith. So it's not a coincidence that today's gospel from John chapter 7, at the very end of the discourse that Jesus has there with the multitude, the last verse there of the gospel for today, "But of the people, many believed in him." the purpose of all of Jesus Christ's words and miracles are to help the people, to help us to believe in Him. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, He speaks to us. Believe that He is speaking these words to you. Let us listen to some of His words. Do penance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Be you therefore perfect, as also your heavenly Father is perfect. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that persecute and calumniate you. If thou wilt be perfect, go sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his own soul? Many sins are forgiven her because she hath loved much. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. I am the way and the truth and the life. We continue this evening by looking in a little bit more detail at these four main elements of faith that I mentioned to you yesterday. So the first one is that faith is a gift of God. Faith is a free gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, quote, "Faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God," close quote. So faith is a supernatural gift. Means you're not always going to be able to feel it or feel necessarily if you're growing in faith or if you're losing faith. Faith is a supernatural gift. It comes from God. We cannot acquire it by ourselves. Obviously, we have to cooperate with God. God's not going to force the gift on us. But it has to come from Him. We cannot acquire it by ourselves. This is why we must always implore God, "Lord, grant me faith. Lord, increase my faith." The divine gift of faith comprises two elements. One, it is a light that illuminates the intellect with respect to the truths that must be believed. They must be believed in order for us to be saved. And so God is giving us that help through the gift of faith to give that light to our intellect so that we can give our assent. Obviously, you also have to, with the use of your free will, you have to say yes. You have to give the assent that you believe those truths. And the second element is faith also is a power that attracts the heart towards them, towards these truths, and impels it to adhere to them so that we live by faith. Without question, God gives me everything that I need to believe, but I must also cooperate with God's grace and believe of my own free will. I have to cultivate the proper dispositions in my soul in order to believe. For example, humility, self-denial, and detachment from the world. Detachment from the world is also detachment from a worldly way of thinking and acting. One of the biggest reasons why we lose faith, why we even sometimes abandon the faith, why our faith is weakened, why we don't grow stronger in our faith, is because we don't practice detachment from the world. And so, day after day after day, week after week, we begin to assimilate, instead of assimilating the thoughts and sentiments of Christ, we begin to assimilate and become like the thinking and the feeling of the world. It's very sad because I'm sure you know many souls like this. I certainly know some that are very close to me, some that are very close in terms of my family. Souls that, and I'm thinking in particular right now of some of the young ones who have left the faith. They've stopped believing. It is something that is so, so sad. And at least from me kind of seeing this from afar, it's because in so many ways they've been influenced by and they've adopted a very worldly way of thinking and acting, consumed by the world. It's a very, very grave danger. And that's why if I'm going to cultivate the proper dispositions in my soul in order to believe, it's not always easy to believe, then, among other things, I have to practice detachment from the world. With regard to this first aspect of faith, that faith is a gift from God, one of the ways that we can practice humility is by recognizing I need the light that only God can give me. I absolutely need that faith in order to be saved, in order to be blessed both on this earth and especially in the life to come. I need the light that only God can give me. And that takes humility to recognize that, how much I am in need of the light that only God can give me. Not thinking that what matters most is my reason and my understanding. Second main element of faith is that the object of faith is God and the truths that He reveals. The truths that God reveals. The immediate object of faith are the truths revealed by God. The final object is God, supreme truth. The act of faith has then as its object the greatest that there can be. And for this very reason, it is the most noble and sublime act that man can carry out on earth, since it unites us to God, the supreme truth. Faith is the adherence of the intelligence to the truths revealed by God. Always remember this, because faith is not primarily, again, like, let's just say, a feeling that I have of, let's say, attraction to Jesus, or the fact that I think He's very great and even that He's the Son of God. It's the adherence of my intelligence to the truths that God has revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ. Always remember this, because what happens if a person is sincere and wants to believe, wants to trust God, but they're not believing the truths that God has revealed because those truths are no longer being taught? Or because instead of truths, falsehoods are being taught? You're talking about an extremely serious crisis. Simply put, how are you going to believe the truth that God has revealed when you're no longer being taught the truth? You're being taught things that are not really the Catholic faith. You're not being taught the truth about marriage. You're not being taught the truth about sins of the flesh. An unnatural vice, the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. You're not being taught the truth anymore about heaven and hell. You're not being taught the truth about the judgment. You're not being taught the truth about what's going to happen when I will die. How can you have faith? Faith is adherence of the intelligence to the truths revealed by God. Faith is the adhesion of the soul, intellect and will, to God, the supreme truth. By faith we know, love, and trust God as the supreme truth. We love Him because we love the truth and we trust in Him. We put all our trust in Him because He is supreme truth. He can neither deceive nor be deceived. Because the object of faith is ultimately God, faith demands an act of humility and submission on our part. I'm not the king here. And again, please think about this. My reason is not the king. Just because I don't understand something, or just because I don't agree with something, because oftentimes my way of thinking is very worldly, I have to deny myself. I have to detach myself from that. True submission to God is offering Him the sacrifice of my intellect and will, sacrificing to Him my soul. This is what it truly means to believe in God and to believe in everything that He reveals. This is a true act of adoration. My Lord and my God, I submit my intellect and my will to You. I can't really understand how what appears to be still bread and wine after the consecration truly is Your precious body and blood. But I believe. I believe, and You are my Lord and my God, and I submit my will, I submit my intellect, and I submit my will to You, an act of faith. This is a true act of adoration because I am recognizing and accepting the majesty and the sovereignty of God. He is the one who is supremely good. He is supreme truth. But always remember that in order to submit to God, I have to die to myself. Because my natural inclination, my natural sinful inclination is to put myself first. I have to mortify my intellect and will. This isn't easy. Mortifying my will is when I obey, even when I don't want to obey. And again, we see so often how, because of our human nature, we struggle so much to obey. Children obeying their parents, wives obeying their husbands, all of us obeying the teachings of the church, the hierarchy also, the hierarchy. The first ones that are to be obedient are the Pope and bishops to the deposit of faith, to the truths revealed by God. And there's so much disobedience today in the church, starting at the very top. This is precisely why Saint Vincent de Paul teaches, if one wishes to follow Christ, one must, according to our Lord's own words, renounce oneself. And this means, St. Vincent de Paul says, it means renouncing, quote, one's own senses. Remember this. To follow Christ, you have to deny yourself. You have to renounce yourself. What does this mean? It means renouncing my own senses. What I see, what I hear, what I feel. And obviously, if my senses go contrary to the truths revealed by God, obviously then, I have to renounce them. It means renouncing one's own senses, one's own passions, one's own will, one's own judgment, making to God a sacrifice of all these things. Sacrificing to Him your senses, your passions, your will, your judgment. And very important, St. Vincent de Paul says, and we must never grow weary of this. We have to persevere. An indispensable way of truly submitting to God. Truly submitting to God is submitting to the truths He has revealed. Faith. And so, in humility, I can pray, my God, I submit to Thee. I offer Thee my intellect. If you don't have humility, it's going to be very difficult to do this, to submit to God and to offer Him your intellect. Number three, we believe because God is the one who reveals. The reason for our faith is the authority of God. God speaks, God teaches, and God reveals Himself. That's why we believe. Simply put, God speaks. And this is one of the great truths about God. God in His infinite goodness and mercy, He speaks to us. That's, if I'm not mistaken, how the letter to the Hebrews begins. How God has spoken in times of old through all the prophets, and now, St. Paul says, now He has spoken us through His Son. Definitively has spoken us through His Son. So, God speaks. Therefore, ergo, I believe. Because He speaks, I believe. And that's why I believe. Nothing can be more important and more precious than this act of faith. Again, it's so sad to see how all these people, I say young people because I'm thinking of some young people, but it's not only the young people. So sad to see all these people. They really do put trust and confidence in what their professors say there at the university because they have this doctorate. What all the scientists say because supposedly, you know, they can prove all these things. You know, what they read in these books because, well, you know, this person wrote this book. What everybody else is doing. Everybody else is doing it. It's like, who cares what everybody else is doing? How can you compare that to God speaks? I believe. Even if I'm the only one. If God gives testimony, we must believe. I accept the testimony of God. How often do we not accept the testimony of someone else? I mean, our whole life, we live our whole life in so many ways believing what other people tell us, especially the people that we trust, and rightfully so. I mean, if they deserve our trust, obviously we're going to believe them. If I tell you that something happened to me yesterday, why are you going to think I'm lying to you? Hopefully I'm not lying to you. But I tell you, you know, I went to Guatemala. Why are you going to say, I don't believe the Father went to Guatemala? You believe it on the testimony of the person who's telling you. And that's why I say, I mean, think of just how many aspects of our daily life we live out this way, we react in ways, we think, we speak, based on the testimony of others. And then here we have the testimony of God, God revealing His truths, how can I not believe? How much more should I not trust God, given that we trust the authority of other men who are subject to error and deception? The certainty of these truths, that is the truths that God reveals, the certainty of these truths far surpasses the certainty of anything else. For example, the certainty given me by my sight. I see something and I believe it. You should. I'm not saying you shouldn't. If you see something, well, you believe it. What I am saying is that if you're really certain about something because you saw it with your own eyes, And if you're really certain about something because you really thought this through, well, infinitely more certain is one of the truths that God has revealed. God is infinitely, infinitely greater than your puny little eyes and than your puny little reason. Because, oh yeah, I saw something. Oh yeah, I thought something. This is why St. Thomas Aquinas prays in one of the beautiful prayers that we have specifically for Eucharistic adoration, for Christ's real presence in the Eucharist, where we're always being called to faith. This is why St. Thomas in that prayer, Adoro te devoto, I adore thee with great devotion, with great love. He prays, quote, I believe everything the Son of God has said. Nothing is truer than this word of truth. Close quote. Remember this. Nothing is truer than what the Son of God has said. And He says, this is my body, this is my blood, I believe. Nothing is truer. Again. Not my eyes, not my experiences, nothing. We do not believe due to our reason or even due to the credibility of men. We believe because God has revealed it. And again, think about this, because again, I'll give you here two very quick examples of how we can see, again, a great crisis of faith because we don't really believe based on the authority of God. I don't know, I mean, you start wondering, well then why do you believe? And the first example is, again, the bishops. My friends, the bishops. If the bishops are teaching things that go contrary to what God has revealed, what the church teaches, who in their right mind is going to believe the bishop? I'm not. Because my faith is based not on what the bishop is saying, but what on God has revealed through His church. And it's so sad to see all these people, oh yeah, I believe this because the bishop said, the bishop said. We believe because God speaks, and again, obviously, the bishop is the bishop because he has a supremely holy mission of transmitting that faithfully, of using his authority to speak in the name of God, not in his own name and to be coming up with his own ideas. So every time you have people that are saying, oh yeah, well, you know, I'm following what the bishop says and I'm following what the Pope says, supposedly under obedience, and if they're going contrary to truths revealed by God, they don't know what they're doing. I mean, you don't have a clue of what faith is. I believe, ultimately, not because the bishop is saying it and because the Pope is saying it, because God has revealed it and the Catholic Church teaches it. And because God has revealed it and the Catholic Church teaches it. That's why the Pope and bishops have authority and that's what they're supposed to be teaching. And the other example is, when people start criticizing the hypocrisy of, for example, priests. They say, well, look, that priest, you know, he's preaching one thing, but then he's doing another thing. Why should I believe? Why am I going to go to Mass if everybody there is a hypocrite? You're not basing your faith on what, again, ultimately, what the priest is saying and what the priest is doing, but what the truth of the Catholic faith is. And if Jesus Christ tells us, love your enemies, pray for your persecutors, and Father so-and-so hates his enemies and curses his persecutors, the answer is not to say, oh yeah, you know, I don't believe in any of that, and I'm not going to go to Mass, and I'm not going to believe because, you know, again, Father so-and-so is just a big hypocrite. Well, who cares if he's a big hypocrite? You believe not based on what Father's doing, saying and doing, but on the authority of God. And if this is what God says, if this is what the Catholic Church teaches, that's what you believe. If Father's not doing it, pray for him. Too bad for him. He's got to grow in his faith. But again, those are just two quick examples of how, I mean, we really have to believe based on God's authority. St. Teresa of Avila said that the less she understood divine mysteries with natural reason, the greater the intensity of her faith, for which reason she was singularly pleased not to understand them. And then here, very important, a teaching by a very holy priest from centuries past, he says, quote, "Most devout persons," and remember this, because again, this is devout persons. "Most devout persons are religious after their own fashion and according to their own ideas and character." This is so true. In some ways I would say we're at fault, and in other ways maybe not that much at fault, because, well, how else am I going to be devout and religious? Well, I mean, I have a certain personality, I have a certain character, but beware. And that's again where humility comes in, and to recognize that I am nothing and I'm a poor beggar, and Lord, that I may see. Again, "Most devout persons are religious after their own fashion and according to their own ideas and character. The number of those who, denying themselves thoroughly, seek to follow no light but the light of faith, and willingly deny themselves their own light," that is, their own thinking, "and willingly deny themselves their own light, that they may be enlightened by eternal wisdom, is very small indeed." There we are being called to a true faith, to truly submit our own reason, thinking, and intellect to God. In humility, I can pray, and say, "My God, I believe, not due to my reason and my judgment, but because Thou hast revealed it." And finally, the fourth element is God reveals the truth through His church. And again, I mentioned this briefly yesterday. I was talking with some of the faithful this morning about this. This includes sacred scripture. Don't forget. Yes, God reveals the truth through sacred scripture. But God has given us the sacred scripture through the church. Always remember this. There's no such thing. There is no such thing as the New Testament without the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church wrote the New Testament, basically. Wrote the New Testament and decided which books were inspired by God. It's the Catholic Church that told us. This book, again, just real quick example. So this is historically what happened. Okay, I'm making it simple, but an example. There are two books here that, you know, are present there in the, whatever, Council of Nicaea, 325 AD. Two books. One is the Gospel of St. Thomas. The other one is the Gospel according to Mark. So we got the Gospel according to Mark, Gospel according to St. Thomas. You have different people and different Christians saying this one is attributed to the Apostle St. Thomas. This one is attributed to the evangelist, did I say Mark? Mark. And so they're both inspired word of God. The Gospel. Well, how do you know which is which? It's the Catholic Church that said, Gospel according to Mark, sacred scripture. God has revealed His word here. Gospel according to St. Thomas, no. I'm saying, if you believe in this, the New Testament didn't fall from heaven. You know, you had a lot of different books that were attributed to the apostles. How are you going to figure out what's what? It's a Catholic Church with her authority. And the way she determined this was she just reflected on her own rule of faith. What do I believe? What is the faith that has been given to me from the apostles and from their successors, the truths that have been faithfully handed on in these first centuries? Okay, this is what I believe, already the formation of the first creed. And since this gospel according to St. Mark is in conformity with the creed, with the faith of the church, inspired by God. This one, there's some elements that go contrary to the faith of the church, not inspired by God. So, God reveals the truth through His church. The ultimate authority is Christ and His church, not sacred scripture. Again, I don't mean to belittle sacred scripture in no way, shape, or form. I'm saying, but, again, in the year 100 AD, there really was no recognized, there was no recognized New Testament. Yes, you had the letters of St. Paul. You had the first letter of St. Paul, second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And they were read. They were read at Mass because they had the great authority of St. Paul. But other readings were read too. For example, the letters of Pope St. Clement that is not part of sacred scripture. But the point here still is that even though many of these writings, again, some of them later to become part of the New Testament, even though they were held with great veneration, there was no universal acknowledgement on the part of the church that this was inspired word of God until centuries later. And so in that sense, we can say, in the year 100 AD, there's not really sacred scripture with, let's say, that the weight of that authority. But there is the church. There is Peter, the apostles, their successors. I'm saying Peter, but their successors. So the whole point is that God reveals the truth through His church. The only Son of God, Jesus Christ, founded His church to be the teacher and guardian of revealed truth in His name. And this is very significant because this in itself is a call to faith. It isn't just saying, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, and then I believe in Jesus however I want to. No. He's left His church to help our weak human nature. And to make us also make that confession of faith that I believe that Jesus Christ speaks through His church. The hierarchy has the sacrosanct mission to guard, transmit, and teach the truths taught by Jesus, what we call the deposit of faith. That is the most holy mission of the Pope and the bishops, to guard, transmit faithfully, and teach what Jesus Christ has taught, what the apostles taught in Jesus' name. The Pope and bishops are called to a profound faith because they have to truly believe that it is Jesus who teaches through them. And it's so sad because when I see what's going on in the church right now with all the garbage, and I say garbage, like with all the sewer stuff that's coming from Rome, you say, how could all these prelates possibly really believe that it's Jesus who's teaching through them? Because if they really believe that, I mean, they would show the greatest reverence and the greatest love and the greatest zeal for these truths that come to us from time immemorial. I mean, they would guard them with their life. This is the teachings, these are the teachings of the Son of God for our salvation and for the salvation of all mankind. I'm ready to die for that. And they're inventing their own teachings. They think that they have to adapt the teachings of the church to modern times. I mean, if you ever are thinking of hubris, pride, the complete opposite of humility, there you have it. I mean, how can you possibly, it doesn't matter who you are, I mean, even if you're the Pope, how can you possibly think that like you're greater than Jesus Christ? These are His teachings. He's using you to continue to teach, to continue to speak to His people. And Jesus is not changing truths. Because, oh yeah, I didn't think about the year 2020 and I forgot that it had to be adapted and changed. A quick summary. Faith is a free gift from God. It comes from God. It is not born of you. Faith is not a personal feeling. Faith is a gift from God. from God to you. He reveals His truths for you to believe and be saved. And He teaches these truths through His church. On your part, by faith, you give intellectual assent to the truths revealed by God. Obviously, you have to say yes. You have to, in a sense, make that personal decision also to say, yes, I believe. God's not going to force you. There is no such thing as faith apart from the church. Because faith is to believe in the divine teachings of the church. God has willed to transmit His truth through the church. And again, this includes sacred scripture. So, faith is not, now again, listen carefully. I'm not saying it has nothing to do with personal feelings and personal decisions and personal experiences. It does have to do with it. I mean, I can't believe for you. When you come to Mass, you have to believe that truly your Lord and your God becomes present. I can believe till I'm as holy as the angels, let's say, and can't believe for you. You have to believe. Now, again, it's also true. If, as we said yesterday about when I mentioned to you about the faith of the friends of the paralytics, it's also true that because of my faith, God can use that faith and will use that faith to also help others. I mean, to give them a jolt there with His grace, wake them up. But still, that every individual is going to have to say, yes, I believe. I can't believe for you. So, doesn't mean that it has nothing to do with this, but it's not primarily about that. That's the key word, primarily. Faith is not primarily about feelings and personal experiences. Rather, faith is about truths that are revealed to us from God. The origin of these truths is not in my heart, what I feel in my heart. These truths, not again, very common today, oh, you know, if you feel this in your heart, believe it. I mean, what the heck does that mean? I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't have any meaning, but certainly don't be putting that stuff, certainly don't be putting that at the level of the truths that God has revealed. So, again, here, it's truths that are revealed to us from God. The origin of these truths is not in my heart, in my thoughts, what I think and what I feel. It is a loving submission, that is a sacrifice. It's a loving submission of my intellect to God. And I acknowledge you are my Lord and my God. Faith is my response, think of it this way also, to the truths that come from God. For example, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is Lord, God, and King. That has a lot more to do with faith than what's in my heart. Okay? Because this is true. God has revealed it. I can easily be deceived. My heart is weak. My heart can easily lead me astray. Christ's words and Christ's teachings can never lead me astray. Another example, Jesus suffered and died for our sins. Believe that. And again, really believe it. Believe it more than anything else. And when I say that again, somebody, Father, you know, I'm really sad. Why are you sad, my child? Well, it's because nobody loves me. Okay, that's a tough cross to carry. But a far greater truth than whether somebody loves you or nobody loves you is that Jesus suffered and died for our sins. What do you believe more in? Do you believe more in the fact that Jesus suffered and died for your sins? Or do you believe more in the experience that you've had of not being loved? And again, I say this because, again, we live our lives. It's so sad. We live our lives giving more importance to our feelings, what's in our heart, what are our thoughts, what somebody else told me. Oh, she told me she loved me. He told me he loved me. He promised this. She promised that. And we put more importance and more time and more attention, and we get more excited and more disappointed and more sad and more happy about all this other stuff that's going on than the fact that Jesus suffered and died for our sins. And that's absolutely true, and it's not going to change. Christ founded the church. Another truth. Christ founded the church. And again, if Christ founded the church, how can you not put the greatest of faith in the church? When you put your faith in the Catholic Church, you're putting your faith in Jesus Christ. It's His church, not mine. He's the one who founded the church. How can anyone have the audacity to go against what the church teaches? And to think that they can change what the church has taught for time immemorial? And again, I'm specifically referring to all the scoundrels that today are in the hierarchy of the church. Christ founded the church in order to continue His work of redemption for all time. And what this means is it means that Jesus truly lives in His church and communicates grace. Another truth, without the grace of God, man cannot be saved. And that's why I always have to pray for grace. Obviously also without the gift of faith that God gives us, man cannot be saved. We've got to pray for faith. We have to pray for faith more than anything else. If you're praying to get healed of a sickness, pray twice as hard for faith. Again, yeah. Your faith is far more valuable. And again, a lot of times God allows sickness in our lives and bad health and even tragedies to strengthen our faith, to purify our faith. Because we go by our senses. We don't go, sadly, by this is what God has revealed. Another truth, Mary is truly the mother of God. How can I not have a fervent devotion to her? She's the mother of God. Mary gave the Redeemer the source of all graces to the world, and thus she is the channel or mediatrix of all graces. In the sacrifice of the Mass, Christ's sacrifice on the cross is made present. As Catholics, we must value the Mass more than anything else. If we really believe this, and this is the truth, in the sacrifice of the Mass, Christ's sacrifice on the cross is made present. How? I can't explain it. It's a supernatural truth that goes far beyond my ability to explain and understand. But I believe. And because I believe, then I try to live my life in accordance with this truth. What's most important is the Mass. The body and blood of Christ, together with His soul and divinity, are truly present in the Eucharist. Here a very important truth for our times. Marriage was not instituted by man, but by God. Man has absolutely no authority to be defying God and thinking that he can redefine marriage. That's why it was a tragic day also in our country. I forget what year it was. It was around 2015. You know, when the Supreme Court supposedly redefined marriage. You know, saying that now it can be a man and a man in marriage and a woman in marriage. When I heard this, the first thing I said, this is totally lunacy. I said, who do these clowns, and I seriously mean it, who do these nine, the Supreme Court, who do these nine clowns think they are? Marriage was not instituted by man. It didn't matter who you are. It was instituted by God. We have to believe this and live by it. I mean, again, think of the consequences when in the ways that we're defying God and in our country and in the church. Well, of course there's going to be a chastisement. Of course there's going to be punishments. I mean, the stuff we're doing is crazy. And another great truth of our faith, heaven and hell are real and shall exist for all eternity. So, I said, faith is my response to the truths that come from God here are some examples of some of those truths that come from God. So then I am called to believe these truths. Again, remember, more than anything else, more than what the experts say, more than what the clowns say, more than what the scientists say, more than what you feel in your heart, more than anything else, I am called to believe these truths, live according to them, and give my life for them if God so wills. And I will conclude right now. I'm just going to tell you in 15 seconds, I'll just say a little bit more about this beginning tomorrow, but remember that there are four qualities of faith. Our faith must be, number one, universal, number two, firm, number three, steadfast, and number four, a living faith. And we'll explain those beginning tomorrow evening. Let us conclude. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee. I ask pardon of Thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love Thee. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee. I ask pardon of Thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love Thee. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee. I ask pardon of Thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love Thee. Dominus vobiscum, cum spiritu tuo, benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti descendat super vos et maniat semper. Amen. May you have a blessed night, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Don't get lost.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved. We encourage you to participate in our 100 by 100 First Saturday Challenge. For the consecration of Russia and triumph of the Immaculate Heart, we earnestly desire to offer Our Lady a spiritual bouquet of 100,000 First Saturdays by the 100th anniversary of her request for this devotion, December 10th, 2025. Sign up and update your progress at fatima.org/100x100. Each First Saturday, Our Lady asks us to make a good confession within 8 days, receive Holy Communion, pray the Rosary, and meditate for 15 minutes on the mysteries of the Rosary, offering each of these acts in reparation for the blasphemies and offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Please include the Fatima Center among those apostolates to whom you send a portion of your monthly tithe. Regular monthly donors are vital for our continuing operation. Visit our website, fatima.org, or call us at 1-800-263-8160. Thank you, and may God reward you. Immaculate Heart of Mary, be our salvation.